Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from Forbes magazine and onthisday.com. Question number one, which show holds the record for longest running on Broadway? Is that A, Phantom of the Opera? Is it B, Les Mis? Is it C, Cats, or is it D, Hair? Longest running on Broadway. Which show was that anyway? And question number two, it was on this very day in 1978 that the so-called Blues Brothers made their first televised appearance. Who were the Blues Brothers? Was it A, Don and Phil Everly? Was it B, Barry, Robin, and Maurice Gibb? Was it C, Dick and Tommy Smothers, or was it D, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd? So who were the Blues Brothers anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from one of those same websites on thisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of April 21st. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1899, that composer Randall Thompson was born. He was known as a composer of great popularity in the United States, notably for his choral music. Of his three symphonies, the second was especially successful. Notable among his vocal works are the Alleluia for Unaccompanied Choir, 1940. Randall Thompson's B-Day today, 1899. No relation, by the way. And it was 46 years ago today, 1977, that the musical Annie opened on Broadway. It ran for nearly 6 years, setting a record for the Alvin Theater, now called the Neil Simon Theater. Annie opens on Broadway today, 1977. La Mer Baguette Quartet, a song respecting nature and Earth Day. The English translation of the French lyrics include these words, "The sea, shepherd of infinite azure. Look near the ponds, those tall reeds. See those white birds and those rusty homes. The sea rocks like in a cradle, them along the clear bay." And this song introduces our genre-spanning article for today, titled The Best Earth Day Songs, 30 Save the Environment Classics. These songs range from political warnings to celebrations of our planet's beauty. This is written by Martin Chilton in the April 22, 2022 issue of YouDiscoverMusic.com.
vois danser le long des golfes clairs à des reflets d'argent la mer.
Every year on April 22nd, Earth Day marks the anniversary of the birth of the modern environmental movement. Songs about the natural world, including those by Woody Guthrie, have been around since the 40s, and many of the greatest songwriters have penned compositions about the planet on which we all exist. The best Earth Day songs, then, reflect not only the ways in which our planet has changed over the years, but also the ways in which we have expressed concern over its survival. As global warming continues to wreak havoc, acres of forest are cut down without a thought for tomorrow, and finding a peaceful oasis on our old earth is harder than ever before. It seems clear that these songs will only become more relevant. To mark Earth Day, we've selected our 30 best environmental songs, though we weren't able to squeeze in all of our favorites, and we had to leave out wonderful songs by Ken Booth, The Earth Dies Screaming, The Birds, Hungry Planet, Peter Gabriel, Here Comes the Flood, and Country Joe McDonald, Save the Whales. We scoured reggae, jazz, country, folk, soul, rock, and pop for songs both disturbing and inspiring. Here's to this amazing, endangered, beautiful world of ours. Coming in at number 30 and working our way down to number 1 is Bo Diddley's Pollution from 1971. Coming in at number 29, Joan Baez, Rejoice in the Sun from 1971. Number 28, Miley Cyrus, Wake Up America from 2008. Greta Thunberg is the 21st century's most famous teenage environmental activist. The young Swede even performed on a 2019 climate song with the 1975. But perhaps the most famous environmental song by a teenager was Miley Cyrus's hit, Wake Up America, which the former Disney starlet released on her 2008 album, Breakout. The lyrics, co-written by Cyrus with Antonio Armato, Jim James, and Aaron Dudley, are simple and heartfelt. Everything I read, global warming, going green. I don't know what all of this means, but it seems to be saying, wake up, America, we're all in this together. And we're important because the platinum-certified album reached a huge young fan base and brought environmental issues into their consciousness. Coming in at number 27, Depeche Mode, The Landscape is Changing, from 1983. Number 26, Loudon Wainwright, Hard Day on the Planet, 1986. Jack Johnson, The Three R's, 2006. Number 24, Talking Heads, Nothing But Flowers, 1988. Number 23, John Denver, Earth Day Every Day, Celebrate, from 1990. A huge supporter of Earth Day, John Denver, known for his iconic songs, Annie's Songs and Take Me Home Country Roads, was one of 20th century music's great champions of environmental causes. In 1990, the year he released an album called Earth Songs, he was given the first World Ecology Award by the International Center for Tropical Ecology at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Earth Songs, an album that was originally available only by mail order, included his joyously positive composition, Earth Day Every Day Celebrate, which urged people to celebrate and land and sea. Celebrate you and me. Denver, who went on to launch an innovative free tree planting scheme in America, remained concerned about the environment. The last song he penned before his death in 1997 was an environmental song about Yellowstone Park. Then coming in at number 22, Little Dicky, Earth, 2019. Let's save the world, tweeted Justin Bieber when he confirmed that he was one of the superstars joining Little Dicky, Dave Bird, on the animated music video for his charity song, Earth, Released right around Earth Day 2019, rapper Lil Diggy, star of the hilarious television show Dave, eventually persuaded Ariana Grande, Ed Sheeran, Snoop Dogg, Sia, John Legend, Katy Perry, and Leonardo DiCaprio to be part of his project to voice animals joining in to save Earth. Miley Cyrus voiced an elephant. In a video directed by Tony Yacenda, Nigel Tierney, and Federico Heller, the lyrics take issue with people who deny that global warming is a real thing. The song raised nearly $1 million to help combat climate change and fund COVID-19 support. It really kind of started out as, I love animals. I'd love to make a song where different artists play the role of different animals, Little Dicky told Time. What started out as a silly joke of an idea, along the way became the most important thing I'll ever do. Coming in at 21, John Prine, Paradise, 1971. And at number 20, John Martin, One World, from 1977. Number 19, U2's Indian Summer Sky, from 2010. Number 18, Dar Williams, Go to the Woods, from 2012. Now, since the dawn of industrialization, poets and songwriters have been extolling the spiritual and mental health benefits of getting out into nature. Dar Williams wrote the powerful song Go to the Woods in 2012, a composition that expressed her fears that the green spaces of the world are disappearing. Touring musician Williams devotes her spare time to environmental causes, not least her Give Bees a Camp project, which combines concerts and planting bee-friendly gardens for schoolchildren. Williams has also covered Joe Strummer's rousing song, Johnny Appleseed. If you're after getting the honey, hey, then you don't go killing all the bees. Coming in at number 17, Johnny Cash, Don't Go Near the Water, from 1974. On his 1974 album Ragged Old Flag, country singer Johnny Cash addressed the political issue of the environment through the device of a nostalgic song in which a father warns his son that they cannot eat the fish they are trying to catch. Though the acoustic mood of the song is upbeat, Cash was joined on guitar by Carl Perkins. The lyrics are bleak. There was a time the air was clean, and you could see forever across the plains. The wind was sweet as honey, and no one had ever heard of acid rain. Then coming in at 16, the Beach Boys' Don't Go Near the Water, from 1971. Mike Love, who co-wrote with Al Jardine a different song also called Don't Go Near the Water, said he hated the ignorance that made people violate the laws of nature. Love and Jardine were encouraged by the Beach Boys' then-manager, Jack Reilly, to write an environmental song for the band, and the result was the anti-pollution plea that became the opening track for their 1971 album, Surf's Up. The prescient lyrics about man poisoning the sea were sung by Brian Wilson and the band. The downbeat mood of the song was heightened by the eerie Moog synthesizer playing of Daryl Dragon. Coming in at number 15, Woody Guthrie's Talking Dust Bowl Blues, from 1940. Coming in at number 14, Tom Lehrer, Pollution, 1965. And at number 13, Randy Newman, Burn On, from 1970. Randy Newman was poleaxed by back pain and lying on the floor in 1969 when a television news item came on about the heavily polluted Cuyahoga River in Cleveland, Ohio, literally catching on fire once again because it was filled with oil waste. His disturbing song, sung at a maudlin pace with a slow piano, is full of potent imagery. The Cuyahoga River goes smoking through my dreams. Burn on, Big River, burn on. Coming in at number 12 is Rush with The Trees. And then at number 11 was Queen's Is This the World We Created, from 1984. Queen singer Freddie Mercury said that he sometimes felt helpless about the state of the planet, and that was the reason he and Brian May penned Is This the World We Created? Mercury went on to explain that he and May were thinking about poverty going on all over the world, and that's why the track came about. It was a way of showing that I can do my bit. The song, which reflected the suffering of children, came at a time of natural disasters in Africa, which had resulted in terrible famine. Queen performed the song, which was on their 1984 album, The Works, as the encore to their famous Live Aid show in 1985. Coming in at number 10, The Beatles' Mother Nature's Son, 1968. John Lennon, who was listed along with Paul McCartney as the co-writer of Mother Nature's Son, a gorgeous paean to nature that appeared in 1968's The White Album, said the song was originally inspired by a lecture from the Maharishi Yogi while the Beatles were in India. McCartney, who said he'd always had a deep love of nature, said that he drew on more personal experiences. I seem to remember writing Mother Nature's Son at my dad's house in Liverpool. I've always loved the Nat King Cole song called Nature Boy, and it was inspired by that song. The Beatles cut 24 versions of the song before they were happy with the completed version. This wonderful song has also been covered by Harry Nilsson, John Denver, and Sheryl Crow. Coming in at number 9, Jackson Browne, Before the Deluge, published in 1974. And at number 8, Cat Stevens, Where Did the Children Play, from 1970. And at number 7, Michael Jackson's Earth Song. At number 6, Bob Marley's Sun is Shining, from 1978. At number 5, Joni Mitchell, Big Yellow Taxi, from 1971. I wrote Big Yellow Taxi on my first trip to Hawaii, Mitchell explained in 1996. I took a taxi to the hotel, and when I woke up the next morning, I threw back the curtains and saw these beautiful green mountains in the distance. Then I looked down, and there was a parking lot as far as the eye could see, and it broke my heart. This blight on paradise. That's when I sat down and wrote the song. Mitchell's mesmerizing song has been covered by Bob Dylan, Counting Crows, and Janet Jackson. Coming in at number 4 is Bob Dylan's A Hard Rain's a Gonna Fall, from 1962. Bob Dylan was only 21 when he wrote the beautiful lyrics, such as, I've stumbled on the side of a 12 misty mountains in A Hard Rain's a Gonna Fall, the iconic protest song in which he warned of an impending apocalypse. In 2009, before a United Nations climate change conference began in Denmark, the UN Environment Program released a rare live recording of Dylan performing his song poem, set to dramatic photographs of shrunken ice caps, barren landscapes, and devastated lives. Coming in at number 3, After the Gold Rush, 1970. The mysterious multi-layered After the Gold Rush is full of different themes and meanings, but there's one thing at the heart of the song After the Gold Rush is an environmental song, said Neil Young. Dolly Parton has recorded several versions of it. The line, Look at Mother Nature on the Run in the 1970s, is memorably chilling and has been updated by Young, who now sings in the 21st century in concert. Young also wrote Be the Rain, a song that calls on the big oil companies to stop ruining the planet. In 1985, Willie Nelson, Young, and John Mellencamp set up Farm Aid to increase awareness about the importance of family farms. Coming in at number 2, Marvin Gaye, Mercy, Mercy Me, The Ecology, from 1971. And finally, coming in at number 1,
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World, from 1967. What a Wonderful World is one of the most uplifting, life-affirming songs of all time, and all because of the heartfelt warmth in the singing of jazz legend Louis Armstrong, a man who was already in failing health when he recorded the two-minute gem, written by Bob Thiele and George Weiss. Lush instrumentation introduces a magnificent song that opens with such memorable lines. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. It's good to end on a note of positivity, so treat yourself on Earth Day. Enjoy a bit of sunshine if you can, and savor again the beauty of Satchmo's hit.
I hear babies cry, I watch them grow, they learn much more than I'll ever know, and I think to myself.
So, how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which show holds the record for longest running on Broadway? Was that A, Phantom of the Opera, B, Les Mis, was it C, Cats, or was it D, Hair? Correct answer? Answer A, Phantom of the Opera. The Phantom just closed this month after 13,981 shows. B, answer B, Les Mis ran for 6,680 shows. Answer C, Cats ran for 7,485 shows. And D, Hair ran with 1,750 shows. As noted by Connor Murray in a 4/17/2023 Forbes article titled Phantom of the Opera Closed on Broadway as Longest Running Musical, here's the entire top ten. The Phantom of the Opera staged its final show on Sunday, ending a 35-year performance run as Broadway's longest-running production. Thousands more performances than any other show in the top ten. The Phantom of the Opera debuted in 1988, won 7 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, Leading Actor in a Musical, Featured Actress in a Musical, and Direction of a Musical. Phantom's music was composed by Andrew Lloyd Webber. Most of the 10 longest-running Broadway shows have closed, except for Chicago, The Lion King, and Wicked. The other shows of the top 10 not already mentioned include A Chorus Line, O Calcutta, Mamma Mia, and Beauty and the Beast. Phantom shut down on Sunday because of lingering damage done by the COVID-19 pandemic, inflation, and declining international tourism. The musical had long been a tourist attraction because of its status as an iconic Broadway production. The crowd for the final performance was invitation only, including actors who had once been in the musical and some fans who had won a lottery. Lloyd Webber delivered a speech after the final curtain, thanking fans for their support and dedicating the show to his son Nick, who died of gastric cancer just last month. And the answer to our second question, it was on this very day in 1978 that the so-called Blues Brothers made their first televised appearance. Who were the Blues Brothers? Was it A, Don and Phil Everly? No. The Everly Brothers made their first televised appearance in 1957. Was it B, Barry, Robin, and Maurice Gibb? No, it wasn't the Gibb Brothers. They were known as the Bee Gees. Was it C, Dick and Tommy Smothers? No. They first appeared in 1967 on CBS and were simply known as the Smothers Brothers. Well then, how about answer D, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd? Yep, correct answer is answer D. Comedians Belushi and Aykroyd made their first performance on this very day back in 1978 on NBC's Saturday Night Live. They fronted the band in character, wearing black suits with matching fedoras and sunglasses. In 1978, the band released their debut album, Briefcase Full of Blues, and open for the Grateful Dead at the closing of Winterland Arena in San Francisco. They gained further fame after spawning a 1980 John Landis Hollywood comedy film, The Blues Brothers. So let's close out today's program with a song, We Are the World, that was released on this very day back in 1985, and that reminds us to match the scale of a problem with the scale of a solution. The environment is a world problem, hence a world solution is needed. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.
And so we all must lend